We are currently going through a series that is called Can I Prophesy? And this series is a study of the prophets, messengers that God sent to the nation of Israel in the Old Testament times. Just to give you a little bit of background, the nation of Israel was a united kingdom under three kings. The first king was Saul, the second king was David, and the third king was Solomon. But after Solomon, the kingdom was split after one of God's prophets declared that because of the sins of the nation, God was going to divide the nation in two. And so the nation was divided in two, just as God had said, as an act of discipline for their sins. And so there was a northern kingdom, and then there was a southern kingdom. The southern kingdom was called Judah, and the northern kingdom was called Israel. And over the course of many decades, God would send prophet after prophet, some to the north and some to the south, to tell them to come back to God. Because even after God split the kingdom, they continued to live in their sins. And so God would send the prophets. The prophet's main job was to call people back to God, to call them back to God. And so today, we are going to be studying the message of the prophet Micah, or Micah, whichever one you prefer. Micah chapter 2. And I would invite you to stand for the reading of God's word today. We are going to read Micah chapter 2. And we'll read the whole chapter, verse 1 to 13. Woe to those who plan iniquity, to those who plot evil on their beds. At morning's light, they carry it out because it is in their power to do it. They covet fields and seize them, and houses and take them. They defraud a man of his home, a fellow man of his inheritance. Therefore, the Lord says, I am planning disaster against this people, from which you cannot save yourself. You will no longer walk proudly, for it will be a time of calamity. In that day, men will ridicule you. They will taunt you with this mournful song. We are utterly ruined. My people's possession is divided up. He takes it from me. He assigns our fields to traitors. Therefore, you will have no one in the assembly of the Lord to divide the land by lot. Do not prophesy, their prophets say. Do not prophesy about these things. Disgrace will not overtake us. Should it be said, O house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord angry or impatient? Does he do such things? Do not my words do good to him whose ways are upright? Lately, my people have risen up like an enemy. You strip off the rich robe from those who pass by without a care, like men returning from battle. You drive the women of my people from their pleasant homes. You take away my blessing from their children forever. Get up, go away, for this is not your resting place, because it is defiled. It is ruined beyond all remedy. If a liar and deceiver comes and says, I will prophesy for you plenty of wine and beer, he would be just the prophet for this people. I will surely gather all of you, O Jacob. I will surely bring together the remnant of Israel. I will bring them together like sheep in a pen, like a flock in its pasture. The place will throng with people. One who breaks open the way will go up before them. They will break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head. This is God's word. After a year of engaging in a sin related to my history of sexual addiction, I saw the devastation that it had caused. And I was finally able to admit that I need help. The book of Micah was written for people like me. People who do not admit they need help until they see the devastation caused by their sinful behavior. It is not how God would like it to be. But if devastation is what it takes for you to say those three difficult words, I need help, then devastation may very well be the thing that God has to use in order to bring you to that point. But all God wants is to help you. God had been sending prophets to the northern kingdom and to the south for generations. And God's warnings and God's invitations for people to change and repent had been neglected and ignored. And so God finally sent Micah. And Micah told them, devastation is here. And about a generation or two after Micah, after he spoke, his word was fulfilled. Because the Assyrians came and invaded the northern kingdom of Israel and took people captive. And devastation had come. A generation after that, the Babylonians came and attacked the southern kingdom and destroyed the city of Jerusalem and took people captive, including kings and their sons. Devastation had come. And so the question that Micah confronts us with is this: at what stage in your journey of sin will you admit that you need help? Because you see, sin is like a minibus. You catch the minibus and it stops at different places. Sin is like that. Sin happens in stages. And at every stage of sin, God stands at the bus stop calling you out of the minibus so that he can help you. Telling you to get off the bus so that you can say, I need help, and God can give you the help that you need. And there is no stage at which God doesn't offer that invitation. But for some of us, we see God at stage one, at stage two, at stage three, calling us out of that minibus of sin. And we do not come out of the minibus. We carry on. And so I want to outline these stages where God stops us and says, come out of the bus. Let me help you. Stage one is forgetting. Sin begins by forgetting God and his will in your life. It begins by forgetting that God is the one on the throne and the one who rules over all things. At the end of this chapter, God says to the people of Israel exactly what he wants. He says, in the end, all I want is to gather you, O Jacob. Verse 12. I will surely bring you together as my remnant. I will bring you together like sheep in a pen. Each of those three statements starts with God saying, I will, I will, I will. The reason he says that's what he wants to do for them in the end is because all sin begins by forgetting that. Forgetting God's will. Forgetting that my very life, every breath I breathe, forgetting that even my very existence is in the hands of God. Forgetting that God can do with me whatever He pleases. You forget that, and the stage one has set in. And even at that stage, God stands and says, get off this minibus. It doesn't matter what the sin is. All sin begins by forgetting who is really in control of our lives. And this is what God tells them at the end of this chapter. I will. I will. I will. I am in control. It's stage one. And God stands at the bus stop and says, get off this minibus. Stage two is neglecting. When you forget that God is the one in control, and you think that you are in control of your life, then you begin to neglect certain things that God, by His will, wants you to attend to. Because if you're in control, why should you attend to the things God says you should? So you begin to neglect things that God has placed under your care. But some of us stay on the minibus. And so the minibus moves further to stage number three. Stage number three is coveting. When you begin to neglect things in your life that God wants you to attend to, you begin to be dissatisfied with the life you have, the things God has placed in your life. And if you're dissatisfied with the life you have, you begin to covet the things you wish you had instead. You begin to covet. And covet means that now the sin has set in on the inside. It's been internalized. You have now begun to want things that are other than the things God has given to you. You desire other things, regardless of whether those things belong to other people, regardless of whether those things belong to your neighbor, you begin to covet. And that's stage number three. And when the minibus reaches that stage, there is God. Get off this minibus. Say those three words. I need help. Some of us stay on the minibus. And yet at that stage of coveting, God stands ready to help us. And that's verse 2. God says, they covet fields and seize them, houses and take them. Coveting comes after neglecting the things in your life and then starting to feel dissatisfied with them. The minibus moves further and reaches stage 4. And stage 4 is plotting. If you are coveting something else and you refuse to get off the minibus, then the next stage is to start plotting how you can get it. Verse 1. Woe to those who plan iniquity, to those who plot evil on their beds. If beds could talk, if beds could reveal what I plot when I lay there. If pillows could download our plots. We plot, and it doesn't matter what the bed is. It could be a bed in a hotel. It could be a bed in your bedroom. It could very well be your kid's bed. And you just lay there to take a nap. But before the nap set in, you were plotting. And it doesn't matter who you're with. You may very well be lying next to your husband or your wife, and yet plotting. Because it's not the circumstances you're in that prevent the plotting. Because the minibus has gone three stages down.
And God's invitation to get off the minibus and to say, I need help, has been rejected. So plotting is the next natural stage. But even when you get to the plotting stage, God is there at the minibus, like a conductor or like those minibus call boys. Come out and say those three words. I need help. If you're like me, you don't come out. You stay on the minibus. And you may very well be songolad, as we say in Chichewa, which is when you sit by the window and put your arm out, enjoying yourself. But that minibus goes further and reaches stage five. Stage five is resisting. Because once the coveting has set in on the inside, then God knows it's only a matter of time before you act it out. And so God begins to make efforts to stop you from doing it. And so before you can go forward, you have to resist God's efforts. And usually those efforts are through God speaking to you, telling you the entire time the minibus is going past stage four, telling you, get off that minibus, because he knows that after resistance, it's not going to look good. Look at verse 6. Do not prophesy, their prophets say. Do not prophesy about these things. Disgrace will not overtake us. They're telling God, who is speaking to them, about their minibus ride of sin. I don't want to hear it. Now that word may come through a sermon. That word may come through a verse that pops out at you. That word may come through a radio program that somebody said something just to speak into your minibus situation. That word may even be a friend at work who was talking to another friend about something else. And you realize that what they were saying is also applicable to you. God is very sneaky. Very sneaky. With sneaking in word after word in all kinds of places. He's very sneaky like that. He will put a word for your minibus situation in the strangest places. He may even put it on a minibus. And you're like, whoa, that verse on a minibus. It may even be the name of the minibus company. God sees you, Enterprise. And you are driving right behind that minibus for 3 miles. You try to overtake him and he won't let you. And right there for 3 miles, all you see in front of you is God sees you, Enterprise. God is very sneaky. Before you can go past this stage, you have to resist, 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 resist every sneaky word that God tries to throw at you. So these people said, don't tell me these things. And if you go past the stage of resistance, then the minibus goes to stage six. That is the stage of executing. At morning light, they carry it out because it is in their power to do it. They defraud a man of his home, a fellow man of his inheritance. Whatever it is that you have been coveting and you have resisted God's call to come off the minibus, then you go and do it. You may be doing it on your own, depending on what kind of sin it is. You may be doing it with someone else, depending on what kind of sin it is. You may be doing it with a whole group of people, depending on what kind of sin it is. But regardless of whether you're doing it alone or someone else, you have now reached stage six. Now for many of us, we think that stage six is when we have began to sin. No. Your downward trend started 5 stages ago. And at every stage, God was telling you, get off this minibus and say those three words, I need help. Executing. And then comes stage seven. Stage seven is addicting. Stage seven is when you engage in this behavior over and over again and it becomes an addiction. Even when you feel terrible and you quit for 2 days, you're right back in there. Because now, even though it was in your power to do it, now you are in its power. Listen to verse number 8. God says, lately. Now, God has been talking to them for generations, but he says, but lately, my people have risen up like an enemy. This is their addicting stage. They have risen up like an enemy. You strip off the rich robe from those who pass by without a care. That is an addictive symptom. When you don't care what your behavior will cause, when you also don't care what your behavior will cost you. Not as though you don't care in the sense that it won't matter to you, but in the sense that knowing what it will cause or what it will cost you isn't powerful enough to break the cycle of addiction. You are in stage seven. And even at that stage, God stands at the bus stop and says, get off this minibus and say those three words, Sean, I need help. But if you're like me, you stay on the minibus. And then you finally get to stage eight. And stage eight is devastating. Is when your addictive behavior destroys something valuable in your life. It may be destroying the heart of someone you love. It may be destroying your career, or perhaps destroying your reputation. Maybe it destroys your finances. Maybe it destroys the life of your children. Devastating. Listen to verse 8. The devastating stage. God says, I am planning disaster against this people, from which you cannot save yourselves. You will no longer walk proudly, for it will be a time of calamity. God is saying, I will allow the kind of devastation that will force you to see that the problem you have is not one you can fix. And then maybe then you get off the minibus. After the minibus has rolled over, off the road, rode over three times, and you can't even come out through the windows. You have to come out through the windscreen. And you come out with bruises and fractures. But guess what? Even then, you find God. All I want to hear is those three words, Sean. And then you say, I need help. Micah was a prophet sent to a stubborn people, to a proud people. Because you see, my friends, how many stages it takes you to say you need help is in direct proportion to the amount of pride you have. It's pride that keeps you on the minibus. Because on the minibus, you say, either I don't need help, or you say, I can't be helped. Both of those are statements of pride. I don't need help is arrogance. I got this under control. I can't be helped is despair. And they're just different forms of pride. They all start with I. I don't need help. But even the person who has despair is prideful because they think they are such a special case. They are so ruined that even God is too small to help them. My problem is so big and special that even God is too small to help me. So you say, I can't be helped. But God says, just get off the minibus and say, I need help. This is God's message through the prophet Micah. And this is a book that's very close to my heart. Because through my experience of engaging in sinful behavior until I saw its devastation through my wife, I have a tendency to stay on the minibus way too long. So my encouragement to you today is, whatever stage you are on, you can get off the minibus today. Because God is at that stage. And all you need to do is say, I need help. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the help that is readily available for us at every stage of riding the minibus of sin. And Lord, I pray that we would be humble enough to get off the minibus and say those three words, because you are ready to help us and you are able to help us. But some of us may need help to get off this minibus. And I pray that you will help us do that too. In the name of Jesus, who offers us a better minibus to ride on than sin, even at the cost of his own life, we pray. Amen.